Augustine, the great African leader of the church in the 5th century, felt so strongly about this that he had some words carved into his dining room table. This is what was on Augustine's table. Whoever loves another's name to blast, this table's not for him, so let him fast.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I got to ask, what is the this that Augustine felt so strongly about?
Oh, criticism of other people, especially brothers and sisters in Christ, that goes on far too much, I think, and can so easily become a destructive sin in our lives. And Augustine, the great saint, wanted nothing to do with it. If you're going to criticize someone else, I don't want you at my table. Off you go and fast. You can just be without food and be on your own. We're looking at the subject of criticism. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, where Paul speaks about the way in which he was criticized, and also the way in which he was able to find strength to endure that. This is really important. No Christian gets through life without hurtful things being said by other people. How am I going to respond to that? How can I turn that to the good and not be destroyed by it? It's all in the scriptures we're looking at today.
Well, and it's a subject that so many of us can identify with. So if you can, join us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as we continue this message, Known to God. Here's Pastor Colin.
People who have a critical spirit usually pick it up from others. And that is why, you see, the Bible says bad company ruins good character. You pick this up. That is why in the first Psalm, Psalm 1 and verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of scoffers. The word sit is important because it literally means hang around with, hang out with. If you hang out with people who are scoffers, that is people who are cynical or people who are critical and habitually pull other people down, if you hang around with them, it will in some degree rub off on you and you will find yourself losing a blessing from God that you would have otherwise. Blessed is the man who doesn't hang out with the critics, the cynics, and those who habitually are pulling other people down. Young people, if you hang out with youngsters who habitually badmouth their parents, they're just always going on about that, and they're always badmouthing other people, it will rub off on you, it'll infect your heart, eventually it'll start coming out of your own mouth, and you will end up sinning against the fifth commandment to honor your father and your mother. Who you hang out with is really, really important. If that's the character of conversation, that's not the friends for you. Don't hang out with people who habitually tear others down. Don't hang out with people who are habitually critical of the church or of its leaders. If you do, it will rub off on you. You will lose the blessing of God. Don't sit in the seat of scoffers. Sit in the seat. I was thinking about, imagine having breakfast with someone who's going down with the flu. And you move into the booth, and this guy who you've been looking forward to having breakfast with and a good old conversation, and he sits down in the booth, and out comes the handkerchief, and and then he does it again. He's, I'm so sorry, I'm going down with a flu. And you think to yourself, if I sit here for 5 minutes, I'm going to be going down with a flu as well, because he's spluttering this stuff all over the table right at me. Now, you keep that picture in your mind, though it's not a very pleasant one. That is what you are, what it is like when you are in the company of a person with a critical spirit. The person who thinks the worst of others. The person who wants to pull other people down. Augustine, the great African leader of the church in the 5th century, felt so strongly about this that he had some words carved into his dining room table, into the wood of his own table where he sat and he ate. And this is so good, I'm thinking, I think I might get this carved into my table. So see what you think. This is what was on Augustine's table. Whoever loves another's name to blast, this table's not for him, so let him fast. Isn't that good? If you want to tear other people down, you are not welcome at my table. I don't want to be part of it. And if your conversation is about tearing other people down, I don't want to be at your table either. Because a conversation that makes people think less of others as a result is not a conversation that you or I want to be part of. Friends, we owe it to others always to make the kindest judgments that we possibly can. Always to think the best of others. To make more of a person's virtues than of their faults. To make more of a person's strengths than of their weakness. Don't be a fault finder. Never assume the worst, because love always hopes. So when you hear something unkind about another person, a good reaction to form the habit of is for your first thought to be, I really hope that that's not true. I really hope that's not true. And not only does love always hope, love is patient and love is kind. So even if it is true, even when a person is at fault, love remembers that our faults are many. And since Jesus has been so patient and so kind towards me in my many and continuing faults and weaknesses, the least that I can do is to seek to be patient and kind towards the faults and the failings of others. Now, the second question is, how did Paul respond? And here I want to give an encouragement to grace under fire. So you're thinking now about the situations in which you've extended yourself in love. It really feels like you've been slapped in the face, taken for granted, and so forth and so on. You put yourself, as you think of these situations, into the apostle's shoes. Let's try and stand in the apostle's skin, as it were, just for a moment. Okay, so here you are, and you have risked your life to bring the gospel to these people. You have personally led many of them to the Lord. You've extended yourself night and day in unrelenting effort on their behalf. You love them. You have often wept over them. You've prayed for them. You have always sought their good. But now many of them are ungrateful. Most of them are critical, and some of them are downright cruel. And they say that you are unreliable, that you are unimpressive, that you are ineffective, that you're generally proud and you're probably out of your mind. How does that make you feel? And this is really hurtful stuff. I mean, if you have felt wounded and hurt, you're surely going to see the Word of God speaks to me right here. So here's the question. How would you respond standing in the apostle's skin? I mean, one way to respond is to fight fire with fire, isn't it? But Paul doesn't do that. Another way, and this is an Americanism that I love, another way is to go with, I am so out of here. I'm having nothing more to do with you. I am out of here. I'm off to Thessalonica, Colossae, and all these other good churches where I'm appreciated. I'm never going to set foot in Corinth again, you know? A plague on all your houses. Doesn't do that. Another response is simply to lose heart. You know, I've extended myself. I couldn't have done more. It's all getting thrown back in my face. I mean, what's the point? And you can almost feel a darkness coming over the soul and a bitterness beginning to settle in. And Paul doesn't do that either.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Known to God, looking today at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, really focusing in on verses 11 to 13, our message part of a larger series called Don't Lose Heart. And we're going to get back to our message in just a moment, so I hope you'll stay with us. If you ever miss a broadcast, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen on the go if you have the Open the Bible app. The app is free. You'll find it at your app store, and that's a great way to stay connected with Pastor Colin's teaching. Or you can listen if you have the entire series on CD. Ask about Don't Lose Heart when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Three things in these last moments. Number one, he maintains a clear conscience, and that's really important. He mentions conscience in verse 11 here and speaks about their conscience, but he's only able to do that because first, if you go back a couple of pages to 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 12, he speaks about his own conscience. The testimony of our conscience is that we behaved in this world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so towards you. He says something very similar in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. He says, I am not aware of anything against myself. A clear conscience, friends, very simply means that you are not aware of any controversy between you and God. The sin that you have been aware of has been confessed. It has been placed under the blood of the Lord Jesus. It has been forgiven, and you are at peace with God. You are not aware of anything that God is currently calling you to do that you are actively resisting, and you are not aware of anything that God has forbidden you to do that you are actively pursuing. A clear conscience, of course, does not mean that you are without sin. There may be actual sin in your life of which you are not yet aware. And certainly for all of us, there is always the latent sin that remains within our flesh that can break out into our life at any time. And that is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, I am not aware of anything against myself. I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord that judges me. In other words, he says, it may be that there are things in me that I just haven't seen yet, but I can honestly say before the Lord, I've searched my heart and I am not aware of anything against myself. Now, the aim of a Christian in this life is to hold the faith and a good conscience. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. That's what we're to do. And that is why the prayer that's at the end of Psalm 139 is so important. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there's any way in me that's grieving to you, so that you can lead me in the way everlasting. That's why asking God to shine the light into your own heart and confessing whatever you see there and coming to him in repentance is so important, so that you can live with a clear conscience. And where you've said or done something that is wrong towards another person, go to them. Say sorry. Learn to say the word sorry. Learn to own the things that you have done wrong, and so that you can have a clear conscience. I've brought where I have been at fault before the Lord, and where I have offended against another person, I have at least sought, in as far as my part is concerned, to do what I can to put that right. So Paul says, I maintain a good conscience. And when you do that, the other two things really come into play. Number two is find peace, because God knows your heart. This marvelous statement in verse 11, what we are is known to God. Wonderful. That's where Paul finds peace. That's where he finds rest under this barrage of unfair criticism that has been landed on him. Now, the order is important here, because if you have a bad conscience, if you're harboring sin in your heart, the fact that God knows you is not going to give you peace. It's going to give you the opposite. And I do say to you, if you are holding out on God in something you know he's calling you to do today, or if you are actively pursuing something that God forbids today, then what you must do today is you must come before him in confession and in repentance and place that under the blood of Christ and depart from that way and to follow hard after him. No one who fights against God ever wins. But when you have a clear conscience, the fact that God knows you is the most wonderful gift, and it will bring you peace. What we are is known to God. And you notice he says after that, and I hope that it is also known to your conscience. In other words, he's appealing to these people who do know him, and he's saying, look, I hope that you know in your heart that these things that people are saying are not true. But whatever you think, what we are is known to God. Now, friends, that will really help you when you find yourself facing criticism. When others look down on you and say all kinds of things against you, you can say with the Apostle Paul, well, you know what? Others may think that I'm unreliable and unimpressive and ineffective and proud and even out of my mind, but what I am is known to God. God knows me. And you will find great peace there. You'll be greatly helped. Because man looks on the outward appearance, help me finish it, but God looks on the heart. And that's why he goes in that next verse to say, it's not about the outward appearance. It's not about who's the most impressive, biggest person. God knows my heart. God knows the heart. And that leads to the third thing, maintain a good conscience. How do you stand up when kindness and love are thrown back in your face and you struggle with this hurt? You've got to maintain a clear conscience. You've got to find peace because God knows your heart. And here's the third thing. Draw strength from the love of Christ. For the love of Christ, verse 14, controls us. We'll come back to this, of course, next week, but just to end here today, think about what Christ endured from those who were so hostile towards him. I mean, he comes and he gives of himself, coming into the world. He ministers to others. He does all kinds of good. And as early as Mark and chapter 3 and verse 22, you find that people are saying, you know what? He's the devil. He's Beelzebub. You imagine that they said that about Jesus? And his own brothers said, you know what? He's out of his mind. They said that about Jesus. Now, whatever Jesus said, those who set themselves against him wanted to take it and simply to twist it against him. And so Jesus says in Matthew in chapter 11, he picked up a popular proverb from the day. And, you know, John the Baptist had come and there was all this, you know, locusts and camel's hair and fasting and all this kind of thing, all his austerity, call to repentance. Jesus comes, there's all this joy and he is eating in many people's homes. And, you know, they criticize John for the one, they criticize Jesus for the other. I mean, where are you to go? Jesus picked up this proverb. He said, to what shall I compare this generation? It's like children in the marketplace. And they're singing, we played the flute for you, and you did not dance. So we sang a dirge for you, and you didn't mourn. You see, nothing we ever did was ever right. Friends, nothing God does is ever right in the eyes of sinners. God is always blamed and never thanked by those who set themselves against him. And it's a dreadful condition of heart. And Jesus experienced that right from the beginning of his ministry. Luke chapter 4, he speaks in Nazareth and they want to throw him over the edge of the cliff before the service is done. And so against that, you understand the disciples think, well, we know how to sort this out. You've got to fight fire with fire. And so James and John, the sons of Boanerges, they say, let us call down fire from heaven, Jesus. And Jesus said, no, we're not going to do that. And then they get into the Garden of Gethsemane and Peter says, I've got the answer right here. And he pulls out his sword and Jesus says, you put that away. My kingdom's not of this world. We're not going to fight that way. No, that's not us. You would think that since in year one of Jesus' three-year ministry, public ministry, since in year one they're calling him the devil and saying that he's out of his mind, and since there's all this hostility towards Jesus, you might think that in year one he would lift up his holy hands towards the Father in heaven and he would say, it's time for the ascension now. I'm out of here. But he doesn't do that. He stays, he endures it, he gets it even more, and he goes all the way to the cross. And that is why Paul says, it's while we were still sinners, blaming God for everything and thanking him for nothing, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Always remember that if you complain against God or find fault with God, you are finding fault with the one who loved you and gave himself for you. That is why in the book of Hebrews we read these extraordinary words, consider him, Jesus, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. And why are we to consider Jesus, who endured all this hostility against himself? It says specifically, so that you will not grow weary and so that you will not lose heart. And then the writer to Hebrews adds this, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. You see the point here? So people are saying you're unreliable, you're unimpressive, you're ineffective, you're proud, and you're out of your mind. Is that it? Is that all? You've been criticized, your kindness has been thrown back in your face, and it's very, very hurtful to you. Is that the extent to which it has gone with you? Think about Jesus. He's shedding his blood. They drove spikes into his hands and into his feet. Consider him and what he endured and all the hostility that was poured out upon him. And you will not grow weary and you will not lose heart.
What a practical message. And I love that line Pastor Colin shared with us just a few moments ago. Remember when you complain against God that you're finding fault with the one who loved you and gave himself for you. Our message today is entitled Known to God, and it's part of a larger series entitled Don't Lose Heart. In the series, we've been looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where some believers had become critical of the Apostle Paul, and we're looking at how Paul responded to that criticism. And I think many of us can relate to that. But how do you keep pressing on and walking closely with Christ in the midst of those difficult times? Well, that's what our series is all about. If you want to get a copy of today's message or the series, Don't Lose Heart, call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of Phil Ryken's book, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. And Colin, who would you say this book is for?
Well, it is for anyone who has ever experienced any doubt. And I would think that's pretty much anyone. You know, faith always has questions because there are so many things that God has not yet revealed to us. You know, sometimes I think when people doubt, they think, I must be the only person that has this question. Well, the good news is actually the Bible is filled with characters who doubted and had different kinds of doubt. And what Phil Ryken has done very wonderfully in this book is he's identified not only different stories of doubt, so we're introduced to different characters, but different types of doubt. So, for example, Eve had doubts about God's word. Moses had doubts about God's call. You've got Naomi, who had doubts about God's generosity. You had Asaph, who had doubts about God's justice. So you discover different kinds or families of doubt, and real people who actually battled their way through it. It's a wonderful book, and I think it's profoundly helpful.
Well, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Hi, this is Pastor Colin again, and I want you to know about Watch Your Life. Watch Your Life is a 6-session course that is geared for leaders but accessible to every believer. The 6 sessions will show you how to grow in godliness, how to feed on Christ, how to pray in the Spirit, how to battle temptation, exercise faith, and discern God's will. There are questions at the end of each session, and you can use them on your own or you can discuss them with a friend. For more information, visit openthebible.org/courses. That's openthebible.org/courses.